Praise God. God has set the scene today, most definitely. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I was inspired a few weeks ago. I was reading Ezekiel 47 and about the river of life. And right now a river is very appealing for swimming. I got so excited about it, I thought I need to find out more about the river and its significance. And so I've been searching through. Father, we thank you for the river of life. Father, it's the life of Christ within us, the living God, that is the source of all life, all hope, all comfort, all strength. Everything we need is found in you. And Father, I thank you for that this afternoon. I pray that, Lord, as we share this word together, as we meditate on these things, that, Lord, there will be a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, so that we can know the hope to which God has called us, and how rich is God's glorious inheritance in the saints. Amen. Amen. Well, if you want to know about a thing, it's a good idea to go back to where it starts. And so we'll go back to the beginning of beginnings, where the river is first mentioned, and it's Genesis chapter 2. And I would love you to preach with me, to flow with me, to let me know you're there, you're alive, you're kicking, you're getting it, you're excited. Because I am. Praise God. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verses 10 to 14. A river flows out of Eden, and that's the river of life, to water the garden. And from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Hivalah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. Andrew's spoken a lot on, well, a long time ago on bdellium. The name of the second river is Gihon. It's the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Now, interestingly, the Pishon and Gihon no longer exist. But we've all heard of the river Tigris and the Euphrates. When the flood came, the earth broke up and its geographical structure was totally changed. And at that point, the river of God, which had the four rivers flowing, the river of life, which had the four rivers flowing from it, two of them were lost. And the two that remain were Tigris and Euphrates. And it's interesting that the ark rested on Mount Ararat, which is in the land where the river of the Tigris is, the land of Assyria. Four is the number of creation, and it is, there is a lot of symbolism, and I couldn't possibly bottom it all, but I'm sure we can go back to this and find out a lot more from it. But for now, that's where the ark rested. The river of life, as we see, was the source of all blessing for the whole world. Before the flood, the river of life, it flourished and it watered the whole earth at that time. And it was to be a blessing, the source of all blessing for the whole world. It was the basis of life, health and prosperity for all of God's creation. That beautiful, the river of life. Now, I found this really interesting. It says in Genesis, that I haven't put the scripture down, but there were sparkling jewels in Eden, and the gold was in abundance. Gold was just, it was a mineral on its own. It wasn't mixed with any other mineral, and it was like the soil on the ground. And the jewels were so abundant, they were just a very common thing. And they sparkled continually. It wasn't until after the flood that man had to mine to obtain gold. He did. It was buried. It was hidden. Before then, it did have value. It was beautiful. It was aesthetically pleasing. And you know, now, man being a man of the flesh, the unregenerate man, the man who's not born again and doesn't know God, hangs on to these things. And the fleshly man says, because they're so beautiful, I'm going to put value on it. But that was never God's original intention. It was there for our pleasure. God is such a God of abundance. So now man, instead of worshipping God, he worships the beauty that God created. Now the river was constantly the theme of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 11 and verse 9. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. And this, we used to sing this at school, did you, Joan? For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God has a plan, and his plan was started in the Eden, the paradise of God. I'm sorry, I need to backtrack a little bit before we get to Isaiah. In Eden, Eden is called the paradise of God. And that is where God placed man, whom he created in his own image. His purpose that man was to have dominion over the whole earth. When man sinned, God's plan didn't end there. Isn't that beautiful? God's plan didn't end there. It continues until man is totally again restored into God's paradise. I think that's beautiful. This plan of God of restoration is ongoing. It didn't finish when God took them out of the Garden of Eden and blocked the way. It was just a process by which God was going to then take us to restore all things, all of creation, including us, to himself. And so the Old Testament prophets knew of that, and they prophesied about it. Isaiah, as we've just seen, said, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Ezekiel 47, which is the one that really inspired me, also speaks of the same truth. But Ezekiel talks about the river of life. The river he's referring to is the river that was in Eden, the Eden of God. And I'm going from, well, we'll start from verse 1. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. Whenever God mentions the east, he's talking about a new day. There's to be a new day. That this is what Ezekiel was prophesying about. As it came in Eden from the under the temple, from the threshold of the temple, this river is going to bring a new day, and it's going to come again. And then let's go down to verse 3. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured a thousand, and it was a river that I couldn't cross, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in. A river that couldn't be crossed. Wow! This river, this flowing, wonderful, crystal clear river. It's interesting, 1,000 cubits, ankle deep. That spoke to me. When you're paddling and you're ankle deep, you're very much in control. You say how far this river's going to go. You say where it's going to take you. You're paddling in it. But you can very easily walk out of it, get out quickly, when you're only ankle deep. Another 1,000 cubits took them knee deep. And another 1,000 took them waist deep. That speaks to me of gradual surrender. When you've paddled in this water, in this river, you begin to think, this is good. I like this. I want to go deeper in this river. And notice, all of this is working on our free will. It's our desire that takes us deeper into the river. We choose. God has left us to choose. He will never force anyone. It's wrong to control any other person. Jesus does not control us. God does not control us. He wants us of our own free will. And that's why in the gospel, grace is so important. The grace of God leaves you free to choose. The law was legalism. You must. If you're going to receive this, you must do that. It was always legalism. And God is not into legalism. He's given us grace, and as such, he works on our free will. And then another 1,000 cubits, and they were swimming. That speaks to me that they were totally surrendered. Totally surrendered to God. You're in the river. When you're swimming in a river and it's flowing, you're not resisting it, you're going with it. You're going with the flow of the river. You're enjoying the freedom. You're abandoning. It speaks to me that you're abandoning fear. You're abandoning anxiety. You're abandoning stress. You are totally free. That river speaks of Jesus. He is the river. And when we get to flow in that river, what we're saying is, Jesus, I'm totally abandoning myself to you. You will help me with everything. I'm not trusting in my ability. I'm trusting in your ability. Tracy blessed me today. She said when she was hanging out the washing this week, she even felt the voice of God say to her, I'll show you how to do this. I'll do this for you. I'll help you do this. If God is interested in helping Tracy hang the washing out, how much more is he interested in every minute detail in our lives? He's interested in what happens to you, and he's interested in taking you through to swimming in that river, flowing with him, letting him use his ability, his gifts, letting him, it's his ability, the river will take you in his direction, will it not? Yes. You're not resisting, you're going where he takes you, you're just flowing with him. And that river will cleanse us. Sometimes, you know, we'll swim for the banks and we'll get running off. Because for some reason, something spooked us. And we decide we know better. But if we'll stay in that river, you know, we have to come back to it, and God will cleanse us afresh. He will renew us. He will restore us. He will motivate us. A river gives you motivation. If you'll just go with it, he'll take you all the way. And I just want us to imagine, and that will be very appealing this afternoon, getting in that river. To swim in and just let it take you wherever it's flowing. And we can trust that river, because that river is Christ Jesus. He is the river of God. Amen. Another thought that's interesting is the 1,000 cubits, the steps. 1,000 cubits is mentioned, is 10 times 10 times 10. Is that right? 1,000. 10 times 10 is 100. Times a 10 is 1,000. 1,000 cubits. 10 is God's number of ordinal perfection. And what he's saying there, it's 4 times it comes. 4 thousands. And the number four, as Andrew said, it's the number of creation. It's the number of God and man. Isn't that beautiful? The river comes when we submit to at the measure 4,000. And that's when we're flowing. That's when God and man is flowing together. That's God flowing with us. It's all his ability. It's all his work. It's all him and us submitting and flowing with him. It's all his power. Verses 6 to 12. He said to me, "Mortal, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees, on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Araba. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh." Doesn't that tell you, wherever the living word of God goes, wherever the river of life flows, you know, that world out there is stagnant. And it's a stagnant sea. It needs the river of God feeding into it, flowing into it, rescuing it, restoring it, and giving it life. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish once these waters reach there. It will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from Engedi to Eniglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets, and its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Where that river flows, it will bring life. It will bring the fish. There will be a great haul of fish wherever that river flows. If we will allow that river to flow through us, to those outside, it will draw men and women to Jesus Christ. Men, it's the river of life. The catch, the men and women that will be restored to Christ will be tremendous. Yet, the fish will be great and of many kinds. That speaks to me of many nations that will be born again of the Spirit of God as this river fills the whole earth. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, for they are left for salt. Do you know that speaks to me, the salt waste? It speaks to me of dead religion, of works, of legalism, of dead works, of selfish ambition, of pride, of failure. And you know, I'm sad to say it, but I think the majority of the church world is there at the minute. They're in the salt waste. But God doesn't want his church in the salt waste. He wants his church in the river of life, feeding on that river, flowing with that river, reaching out to the nations with the life of God. And let's read Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, before you go there, we'll finish up in Ezekiel 47, the last few verses, from verse 12 of Ezekiel 47. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. That is beautiful. Healing of the nations. Yeah. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Wow. Before the foundation of the world, God saw you, and he chose you to be in Christ. He chose that he would give you the choice. He would bring you to face him. He would bring the gospel to you, and he would give you the choice to say yes to Jesus or no. Do you want to live in that river of life? Do you want to flow out to this world? Do you want a life that's exciting and vibrant? A life that's full of good things? Yes, there are challenges, but there's nothing that we will ever face that is too big for God, that he hasn't overcome, that he hasn't conquered. He's conquered everything that we face. You know, the last few months for Andrew have been quite challenging and tedious, and I've had my own challenges in that too. But you know, God has taught me a lot of things, and I'm sure Andrew on reflection has learnt a lot too. And we go through some tough situations, but I tell you, if we'll look back and learn the lessons, God will teach us some very precious things in those times. Things that will form our character, things that will develop us for good, and things that we'll be able to help others with in the future. Just listen to God. Don't moan and groan at what's happening to you. Just rejoice, because God has a higher plan. He knows what he's doing. He's forming Christ in you. He's perfecting you. He's bringing you to that place where you flow in the river with him, where you will let go of everything that hinders and holds you back, and just say, God, I'm just going to free fall with you. I'm just going to flow in that river. I'm just going to let it happen, because I know that underneath and around about are the everlasting arms, and he'll only take me where it's good for me. He'll only ever lead me and let me go where it can be for my good, ultimately. We know, don't we, all of us, that part of the plan, God's original plan, had to be sent to send Jesus, his only son, to die for us. Jesus died for us. Why? Because in our fallen state, we could not be restored back to God. Jesus came to die for us, that he might restore us back to God. And when we accept Jesus as our substitute, and that he died in our place, and we accept him into our hearts and lives, then he comes and he lives in us. And this Jesus Christ is the river, and the river then starts to live in us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to restore man to his original calling. God is taking us, he's taken man out of Eden, he sent Jesus to restore man, and he's taking man back to paradise. He's taking man back to the paradise of God, to the Eden of God. He is going to restore all things. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. And that is exactly what he has done. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Nothing can succeed against you if you will submit to God. and let him deal with your enemies. You'll have a much easier time of it if you let go and let God deal with everything that stands against you. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. I've learnt that these past few weeks. When we're redeemed, we enter again God's Eden. I think that's lovely. Paradise is restored in us when we accept Jesus. We're back in God's Eden. The gospel is the healing river of life that restores the whole of creation back to God. It's guaranteed because our standing is in Christ, and Christ never fails. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ and flow in that river with him, we can never fail. God's plan will never fail. It has never failed. God knew what was going to happen when man came out of the Garden of Eden. And it was all part of his plan. And that plan is still ongoing. And that plan will be fully fulfilled. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. So then you are no longer citizens, strangers and aliens, So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. That is beautiful. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. God has restored us as a dwelling place for himself. God dwells in you and me. When we're born again, God dwells in us. The river of life is in us. Ephesians chapter 3. And I just want to read the whole of this because I get so excited. For this reason, that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Jesus Christ for the sake of the Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by the revelation as I wrote above in few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to mankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Praise God! Of this gospel I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone else see what the plan of the mystery hidden for all ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the authorities and rulers in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are for your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner man with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever.
Amen. Now, is that a powerful piece of scripture? That just tells us God, through the manifold presence of the church, wants to make known his power in the world. The church, a lot of the church is in the salt waste. They're in the swamps. They're in the marshes. God wants his church in the river, flowing, manifesting the power of God to the nation and the nations. Amen?
Amen.
That's where we're at. We're at that point where Jesus is in us, and it's up to us, church, and I want to be awake and alive and flowing in that river. I want to let the power of God, these hands are healing hands. These hands will bring deliverance to the hurting, to those who are in captivity. These hands will heal the wounded soul. These hands are Jesus' hands. Jesus lives in me. You know, Jesus was God and man. And by the grace of God, I am God and man. You are God and man. If you've got Jesus in your heart, the river of life is flowing through you. And God wants that river to flow out of you. It cannot stagnate within you. It has to flow out of your innermost being. What did John say? I've not written that scripture down. Oh, I have. John 7, verses 37. The Gospel of John. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Wow! Jesus is in you. When you receive Jesus as your own personal Saviour, you ask him to forgive you of all the sin. We've all sinned, the Bible says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, of the glory of God. And by his grace, he wants to come and he wants to live in your heart. And when he comes and he lives in your heart, Jesus is in you and he wants to flow out of you to other men and women in the world. He wants you to bring that message of hope, healing, salvation, restoration to the nations. This gospel will fill the whole world. Daniel said, this stone that hit this statue and broke it and smashed it, it filled, it grew and it grew and it grew until it filled the whole earth. Isaiah said it would fill the whole earth. Daniel said it would fill the whole earth. Ezekiel said it would fill the whole earth. The prophets of old foretold it. They saw it. They saw Jesus Christ. They saw the plan of redemption. They saw you and me. They saw that we would play a part in that. How privileged we are that God should indwell us and want us to go and flow with him to reach the nations for himself. And then in Ephesians, well, let's go to the very end, Revelation chapter 22. When we get to the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night, for they need no light or of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Wow, that river. I want that river to flow through me. I want that river to flow out to me, through me, to the nations. I want to use these healing hands. And I'm sure there's many of us in this place today who want to flow in that same way. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Yeah. Give a clap. Yeah. We need to honour the word. Because in honouring the word, we're honouring God. Because Jesus is the word. Jesus said, I am the word. You know, he encourages us. Now, stand up. Just stand up. Just, you know. Just, you know, massage those areas that are a little bit, you know. It's all right. Don't worry. Nobody will get afraid. I just want to... I have not preached for 10 weeks. I have gone through hell, there and back, and there and back, and there and back. And, God is still doing a process. And
yes.
I'm believing for my healing.
Amen.
I'm trusting God for my healing.
Amen.
And it's not yet fully manifest. But guess what? It's on its way.
Amen.
Jesus is the healer.
Yes.
I'm not looking for a knife. I'm scared of knives.
Yeah.
I don't like to see blood, particularly when it's my own.
Yeah.
You know? Come on.
Amen.
And I'm reaching out still. The doctor says one thing. Dr. Jesus says something else.
Amen.
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 Amen. Two doctors pronounced over this lady that she would be dead in 2 days.
Yeah.
I was there. I heard it.
Yeah.
And that was how many years ago now?
Four.
4 years ago. Doncaster pronounced her dead. Sent her to Derby for a... thank you. Kidney dialysis. I got there. The doctors didn't know why she was there. I told them, gave them the information. They rang Doncaster. And I heard the doctor say, well, why are you sent her here? Because she's going to be dead in 2 days. I looked at her. Her face was twice the size it is now. She looked like she'd been in a fight and been beaten up. Because I thought when I got there she'd beaten up. But it turned out that three of her organs had failed. Her eyes were yellow and bloodshot. Never seen anything else. They would have glowed in the dark, I'm telling you.
I looked at the man in the mirror.
She scared people. I mean, I looked at her and I thought, dear God, she's dead. But then again, I remember that Jesus is alive and he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
And we rebuked that thing in the name of Jesus and we released her from the spirit of alcohol.
Amen.
And she was a skeleton, really, although she was blown up with a poison. 4 years later, she's here. And even the doctor said to her, we gave you 2 days. And he said,
don't know what you've got, but it's strong.
Don't know what you've got, but it's strong. It's a miracle.
Amen.
Come on! She came here an alcoholic a few years ago. She came here out of her mind. Your husband told her to come here. Is that right? Met her in the street singing a silly song she was singing. And he stopped her and spoke to her about Jesus. And she came.
Yeah.
A alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she came on and off for some time. And then she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Money got hold of her. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you all the details.
Money.
And she went back and ended up in the state that she was in. And God did a work on her.
Yeah.
Set her free.
Amen.
Amen.
And she's here today because Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He's on the throne.
Amen.
You know, He's the healer.
He is.
You know, this is the Jesus that we serve. You know, this is what needs to be seen in the church. Signs, wonders and miracles. This is what it's about. Amen. That's right, Patrick. And if we will believe and we begin to put into action, we shall see it even in our own lives and in the lives of people that we come into contact on a daily basis. Because the church should be out in the street. The church should not be inside a building. We're here to feed one another, to build one another up, to be taught, to be encouraged, so that when we are equipped, we go out into the world and we change lives of people we meet. Her life was changed because she met a believer on the street.
Amen.
She didn't meet the believer in church, she met the believer on the street.
Amen.
And we need, you know, you need to be a believer on the street.
Amen.
She was dead, but now she's alive.
Amen.
Praise God. She was once in darkness, but now she can see. Do you know what the next step now? She needs to be taught the word of God and the principle of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because it's set her free.
Yes.
But now it's time to teach how it works and how to begin to hold on to that truth.
Yes.
That has set you free.
Amen.
And when you've been set free, you are free indeed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you. And you know, we're going to have a convention today.
Amen.
You know, we haven't booked it. We haven't planned it. But I have preached for 10 weeks. Last Wednesday, somebody came to see me, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. You won't. Some of you won't know. Somebody came to see me, and usually when they come, they've always got a downer. Very downbeat. Very negative. And they said, I'm going to come and see you on Wednesday. I thought, dear God, that's all I need. You know, I'm about as low as I can get. I'm laid on my back, you know. In pain, been in pain for 10 weeks, I do not need somebody to come and be down and depressed to talk to me. I don't need a Job's comforter, you know what I mean? You know? Oh yeah, I know what it's like, I know what you mean, you know what I mean? Oh yeah, I mean, you know, everything's woe is me, and I'm thinking, oh God, here we, you know. He came in opposite. And we had a great time of fellowship. We must have spent 4 or 5 hours fellowship in the Word of God.
Amen.
We were just having a great time of sharing, you know, how numbers are so relevant in the Word of God and so powerful to us. And we were just bouncing things off one another. When he'd gone, I was like, yes, yes, you know, I'm thinking, you know, how God can send somebody along and then they are just totally opposite to what you expect.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this guy, I've known him years, so I know what I'm talking about. But praise God, he came and God had done something in him. And we began to work together and just, you know, bounce around the Word of God. And it was like, fantastic. There, I'm laying on my back and we were preaching together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, don't matter what position you're in, preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Whether you're on your back, whether you stood up, whether you're in pain, preach the Word of God. Because that will set captives free. And when it set them free, it sets you free.
Amen.
You know? You start to move in the anointing.
Yeah.
It is the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what trouble you've got. I don't care what pain you're in. But I'll tell you this. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Amen.
Who's the anointing? Jesus.
Yes.
He's the anointed one. And when he comes upon you and lives within you, he will break that yoke. He will destroy the work of the devil every time. I don't care whether doctors say you've got a problem, that you've got a difficulty, because Jesus says you haven't. And you have to take the word of God. You have to believe Jesus. You haven't got a problem. If you have, give it Jesus, then you don't have the problem.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what it's about. You see, we have to release the problems to Jesus.
Amen.
He's the burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
My back has been weak through an injury through many years. And there's a there is an issue going on. But do you know something? God all through this is pointing out to me, you are not a burden bearer. I am not an ass. I don't have four legs. Right? You have asses and donkeys to bear burdens. Don't be an ass. Don't be a donkey. Cast all your burdens upon Him because He cares for you. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Well, you've got to rejoice in that. Praise God. Now, you can stand as long as you want. You can sit. But I'm just going to share a few more thoughts with what's just... that's been kicked off in the realm of the Spirit. And if you want to stand, then feel free to stand and receive the Word of God. I just want to press in further with where we are now. Praise God. Ezekiel 28. And Grace brought out about this stone. And then about the fact that there were jewels in the Garden of Eden. And I just want to just refresh that to some of you have never heard it anyway. So it's not refreshing, it's new. Ezekiel 28. Do you have it? I said, do you have it?
Yes.
Praise God. There is life in the congregation as yet. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lament for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection. Glory to Jesus. Son of man, take up a lament for the king of Tyre. Do you know who the king of Tyre is? Any idea? No? Lucifer. Lucifer. Now listen as we read. Write in your Bible. Look at my Bible. It's got yellow in it. It's got scribbles in it. All over the place. This is my Bible. This belongs to me. When God speaks, whew, hallelujah. I've been scribbling notes in it, you know. People say, oh, it's the Word of God. You can't. What a bet. This book, this will shake you. This book is still being written.
Yes.
Still being written, this book. And I know we people say, well, it says in Revelation, don't add to this book. Yeah, it does. Don't add to Revelation. But the book of God and the saints of God is still being written because you are one of the chapters in this book. This is about the things that God has done. You're a miracle. You're a miracle and it's being recorded. Praise God. You're a miracle. And it's being recorded. Hallelujah. Your life is being recorded. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're being recorded. It says about Jesus, there isn't a book that can contain all that has been said and done and written. It can't be contained in this book. So don't get the idea that this is finished. Hallelujah. It's finished when God says it's totally finished. Hallelujah. And so the king of Tyre, Lucifer, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, is that right? Do you remember? He met Eve in Eden. You were in the garden. Every precious stone was for your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lispaloos, the topaz and emerald, and the gold of the workmanship of your settings and your sockets was on you. And on the day that I created you, on that day that you were created, they were prepared. And you were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. Whoa. This is Lucifer. And he's ordained with jewels, diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, yeah, aren't they? Yeah. That's an old one. You know, they all wanted a diamond ring, didn't they, the girls? Huh? Bigger the diamond, the bigger the catch. The bigger the diamond, maybe the bigger the pool. Who knows? You and I, we sort of go, you walk past the jewelers and you go, wow, look at that rock. Yeah? No? Come on, be honest with me, you do, don't you? You see these stones and you go, whoa. I mean, we would had the opportunity one time, we went to Istanbul, and we saw there the biggest cut diamond in the world. Top cappy diamond. About this sort of size. Rocking on its axis. 24 other 1-carat diamonds. 24 1-carat diamonds or something round it as well. And you're like going, oh yeah. They didn't let you stand there too long. Move on. Thrones covered in gold. Emeralds. Just scattered on the throne room, on the throne itself, just anywhere. Throne overlaid in pearls. All these were all different thrones, and they don't have enough space to display all the wealth and the glory that they have got. They change it every so many months. Guess what? Neither has God. Amen. God has not run out. He's full of an abundance. Now we think, we look at these things and we think, wow, what tremendous value. God doesn't. When God created the earth, he scattered right through Eden, the Garden of Eden, stones of jewels, emeralds, pearls, rubies, sapphires. The blues, the reds, the greens. Diamonds. Can you imagine? And this is no exaggeration. Can you imagine a diamond this size? Can you imagine an emerald this size, a green emerald? Think about it. God is no cheapskate.
Amen.
Diamonds are like that to God. Emeralds are like that to God. If God wanted to bring a big emerald, he'd just produce it. He's God. Everything comes from God. And can you imagine as the reflection that came off these stones. You know, they talk about all these flashing lights in discos. You know, they project all these lights to catch people and to... God was doing it 6,000 years ago. In the Garden of Eden, he had all the beauty and the glory being shown. And there was Lucifer walking amongst it. He had the privilege. He was the chosen anointed cherub to take care, to cover the place. He's on the holy mountain of God. And he walked in the midst of the stones, verse 14. And in verse 15, the word says, you were blameless in your ways. This is God speaking about Lucifer, who became the devil. God saying, you were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created, you were blameless in your ways. Until unrighteousness was found in you. What caused it? It was his pride. And another part of scripture says, he said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will do this, and I will, and I, and I, and I will walk in the midst of the stones, and I will. I is the biggest sin that comes into our lives. I will do this, I will do that, and I will not let anybody tell me what I have got to do. Well, guess what? God is going to tell you exactly what you've got to do. Because if you don't do what He tells you to do, you're dead in the water. You're dead in sin and trespasses and sickness and disease. You're dead in it. But you and I have to come to that place where we listen and we obey the Lord. We obey the word of the Lord. For it is good for you and me to obey the word of the Lord. It goes on to say there, by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of splendor, and I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. The devil's being cast to the ground. The devil's being cast down to the earth. To the fallen earth, that's where he's being cast. Where's the earth when you walk outside? Right underneath your feet. Praise God. And do you know something? You and I are made from the earth. This earth has to make sure that the devil is cast down, and that we maintain the devil underneath our feet.
Amen.
And as we do that, we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords become mighty in our lives. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, I believe. In fact, we'll read verse 7 first, where Grace was reading from, I believe, if I remember right. Revelation 2 and 7 first. She finished just about. This. All right, you're in 22. Well, I picked it up in Revelation 2 and 7. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches, God is speaking to the churches by His Spirit. And if the church doesn't listen to the Spirit, but listens to its own ways, then the church is on its way to a downward spiral of hell. You know, and I'm going to say this. The church needs to be a church of signs, wonders and miracles. Because the church has to be the life of God.
Amen.
And the life of God is signs, wonders and miracles. He's a God of the Spirit. He's a God of glory. He's the God that will restore all things to Himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that which is dead will be given life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So the church has got to be a church that has got signs, wonders and miracles working in it. Because I'll tell you what, the world is looking for a miracle. The world is looking for the signs. And the world is looking for the wonders. And have you got a sign and a wonder in you today? Because that is what's needed today. You need to be the light of the world. You need to be the salt of the world. You need to have signs, wonders and miracles ready available at your hand right now.
Amen.
Don't leave it to the pastor, to the elders, to the deacons, because that's wrong. If you've been taught that, then you've been taught wrong.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. If you've been taught that it's just the job of the pastor, the elders and the deacons, you've been taught wrong.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Jesus gave His command and said, go out into all the world. Who's He talking to? The church, the disciples. Who's a disciple? me. Come on, be a disciple. And when he speaks to his disciples, he said, go out into all the world. He said, you preach the gospel. You cast out demons. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. Not the pastor. Not the elders. Not the deacons. Oh, and by the way, that's not an excuse for you elders or you deacons not to be doing it. It's not a cop-out. It's just an emphasis to the point that everyone that is in the body of the Church of Jesus Christ should be functioning in that anointing and in that ministry. And if you're not, that's okay, because if you stay here long enough, you will be. Because we will cause you to grow into that. You will become as a babe, and then when we've given you some meat, you'll grow up and become an adult. You will become mature in the Word of God. And when you become mature in the Word of God, you will heal the sick, you will raise the dead, and you will cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And nothing that comes against you shall prosper. For God has sought to destroy the works of the enemy. And I'm telling you that you need to get a new focus on who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to catch that vision of what Jesus has got for you. And don't take second best. You know, don't think, oh, this'll do for now. Because I'll tell you what, if you take this'll do for now, you'll be in trouble within a few weeks, within a few months. You take the best. God has got the best for His people. I know that. I live by the best. I don't live as a cheapskate. Glory to Jesus. I don't waste what God gives to me. I get the best that money can buy on the best bargains. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Call them in the name of Jesus, don't we? Is that right, Bill? He bought a computer a few weeks ago, a laptop. And he stood there looking, going, shall I shanta, and somebody came by and said, go on, you know, you want it, buy it. He bought it, and how many days later? 2 weeks later, the thing had gone up. £140 on the shelf, gone up. Hey, can you not hear that God was caught, you know, that thing was sat on the shelf calling, Bill, buy me. I'm a blessing, you need me. You know, I know you're laughing at it, but it's true. Come on. Better get back to the Word. Verse 7 of Revelation 2. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Hallelujah. Do you know something? We're going to go back to paradise. We're going to go back to the fact of what God created in the beginning. Do you know why? Because it was good. In fact, God said, it's very good. He said, he was boasting on himself. He said, you know, I said, I haven't made anything so good in all my existence. This is the best.
Amen.
You're the best.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to stand in front of a mirror and tell yourself that sometime. You're the best. You're the best. Don't get down on yourself. Get up on yourself. Come on, you're the best.
Amen.
Say, I am the best. I'm the best that God created. God loves me. Hallelujah. I am the best. Come on, you see, you have to, you know something? You do not have to convince God, you have to convince yourself. How many times do you get down on yourself? How many times have you failed this week? You know, have you had a failure this week? Then you get down on yourself. God says, I forgive you. Get on. Move on. Move on. Life's moving. The kingdom of God's coming. Hallelujah. That river of life. There's a river of life. Jesus said, you'll be filled with the Spirit, and out of your innermost being shall flow the river of life. Out of you shall flow a river, the river of life. The river of life is Jesus. The river of life that comes from the throne room of God in Ezekiel is Jesus. That same river is flowing out of you. Now, do not ask me how that is happening. You know, none of you are spewing out water, I hear, at the moment. I don't see it. But what you have to realize is, this is the mystery of the Word of God. God's Word is a mystery. God, you know, there are pictures that He paints, but we have to look beyond the picture. It's like computers. We have an icon. What is an icon? It is a picture, is it not? And guess what? If you persist and click on the picture, it takes you into another world, into another dimension, into another program. And it's all in the same place. It's all contained in the same place. And in the same way as you read the Word of God, as you read it, there are pictures, icons. This is what the old ancient Coptic church, they had icons. And if people said, oh, it's idol worship. Oh, it's not. There were icons like you have on a computer, because if that's idol worship in the Coptic church, guess what? The computers you've got are idol worship. Because you've got icons. No, it's probably best not. They become slaves if you're not careful, and kids get on them and play these stupid games, and they're drawn. And come on, you see them playing the games and they are drawn in. They become. They're good, but they also have evil tendencies. They can be used for good. They can be used for evil. And so we measure these things. There's a river of life. And then we move to, I'm going to come, I want you to hold that scripture, and we're going to come back to that thought, okay? And Grace just mentioned about a stone, and I just need to run this by you, because not many people have heard this, probably out of here anyway, only the people that have come here regular. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. And you know, when you find Jesus, when he finds you, and you give your heart and life to him, he gives you a white stone. And on that white stone is your new name. You know why it says that? Because many of the names that were given to people were given names that were worshipping gods and idols. And that's why people, when they were baptized, were given a new name. Jesus said to Peter, from now on, instead of you being called Simon, he said, I'm going to call you Peter. A rock. A rock. Instead of being called just a small stone, I'm going to call you a rock. And he changed his name. That's what the baptism's all about. A new name. This white stone is a bdellium stone. When you read in Genesis, it says about the white stone that it is the stone, the bdellium stone. That's the white stone. It's a precious stone. And God writes your name, and God gives you a precious white stone with your name written on it. And no one knows your name. You know, but you know it in the Spirit, and God calls you by the Spirit. And you hear His voice. Nobody else hears it. God speaks to you, and only you hear it. Because God knows your name. And so God has given to you a stone, and that means something precious. You know, manna. They said, it's like bdellium. It's white. And that's how we know the symbolism. When God gave to the children of Israel manna, it was white. And they refer to it in Scripture as like bdellium. Manna like bdellium. And that white stone is the manna of God. Food of heaven. Life of God. Everlasting for you and for me. And let's just turn quickly now to Revelation 22. No, we won't. I've got one other thing to say before that. We've got Revelation 21, verse 19. This is how rich God is. Right? This is how rich God is. This is the New Jerusalem. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third cardonia, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonic stone, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth carilopaz, the 11th jicarassa, whatever it is, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of those gates was a single pearl, by golly. Ladies, have you seen pearls? Could you walk through the door of that pearl that you've seen? Could it be a door for you? No way. That's a door. That's a big clamshell, is it not? Think about it, you know what I mean? They open up these shells this size and they find this little pearl, don't they? And it's worth lots of money. And God says, I'm going to build a city that has got gates, got doorways, bigger than this. And it's going to be out made of one pearl. Oh, they'd go crazy today, wouldn't they? If they had found a pearl that big, I mean, you know, this thing would be at auction at Christie's, and I mean, it would demand the highest price that any man could pay. And God's just saying, oh, I'm going to just build this city, and, you know, and what I'm going to do is, I'm going to put 12 foundation type stones in the city. I'm just going to use, well, I'll make the first layer of jasper and I'll put a load of sapphires in. And my wife loves sapphires. Have you seen the price of sapphires? I'm talking to the ladies now, because you know it's the ladies that stand with their noses rubbed against the windows, you know. All the grease marks of the ladies' noses as they're gone looking at the jewellery. You know. Look at that necklace with that sapphire in. Ooh, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Come on, love, we've got to go, you know. We need to move on, love. We need to move on. Come on, moving on quickly, you know. Oh, I do it all the time. I take my wife shopping all the time, you know. Late at night. Window shopping. Come on, dear. Yeah, we don't do that very often these days. We don't know where the windows are. And here we have God. You know, He's just, oh well, stick a load of sapphires in that level and just. I mean, He doesn't tell me how deep these foundation stones are. But boy, there's a reference somewhere to the height of the wall. And I'm not going to look for it. You're going to look for it. And you're going to find out how high this wall is. Divide it by 12. And you'll see how big those stones are going to be. Begin to think how thick that wall is going to be. And by the way, this in cement, this is not rendered in topaz and emeralds. This is made out of solid topaz emeralds. You know, it's, yeah, big. That's right. It's got some size and weight about it. This is, I'm trying to give you the picture of how great, how mighty God is. And what can come from God as we honour and as we worship and we magnify His name. You know, He can cause things that are not to be. He can cause what you haven't got to be. I don't know how He can do it, but I know it's in the book, because the widow in Elisha's day said, all I've got is this small bit of meal and this small amount of oil, and me and my boy are going to eat the last, going to make a cake and eat this cake and then die. Remember the story? And he says, you make a cake for me first. Hang on, me and the boy's got nothing. He said, make a cake for me first. She made a cake for him, and guess what? Her supply never ran out till the famine was over. Right? The widow, two sons, had a big debt to pay. And the prophet said to her, go and collect as many empty vessels around the town that you can. Go into your house. Lock the door. Close the windows. Don't let any seed of doubt.
Amen.
Come on. Don't let any seed of doubt in your house, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. Keep it all out. Believe my word and begin to pour.
Amen.
And fill every vessel. And out of one jug, she filled hundreds of vessels. And you know, when she got to the last vessel, the oil stopped pouring. Hey, what's happening? It's another miracle. I follow a God of signs, wonders and miracles. This is my God. Well, is that your God?
Yes.
If it's not, then you're following the wrong God, I'm telling you. You've got to get the right Jesus. Follow Him. Follow Him, because He is mighty. He is glorious. And finally in Revelation 22, and it says here, and He showed me a river, the water of life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, the tree of life. And do you know what just hit me when I read that? And I'm, you know, you might have to look at it. We might have to dig around this one. But what hit me was that there is this river that's flowing out. And suddenly, there's the tree up. Stand up, John. Please. Stand where you were. You're that side of the river. Stand up, Ellen, please. Here's the river. I'm stood in the river. But either side is the tree of life. Wait a minute. In the Garden of Eden, was the tree of life. Who's the tree of life? Jesus. Adam and Eve were told you can eat of every tree except of the tree of the good and evil. What does it mean? It means you can eat the tree of life. They could have eaten the tree of life and they would have never died. But they chose the tree of good and evil, of knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge. Grasping at knowledge. Listen, church, if the church is just grasping at knowledge, they've just grasped at the wrong tree. They need to grasp at the tree of life, eternal life, Jesus. But the thing that came to me as I was just reading that, and I've not really seen it before, there's this river, but yet on either side is the tree of life. How did that happen? Does that not mean there's two trees now? I'm asking the question. Do you see it? What does it say in your Bible? It says there's a river. On each side of the river is the tree of life. Isn't that what it says? So, in English, does that mean there's two trees? Come on, look. Church, you know, be prepared to say something, make a mistake, glory to God, and God will forgive you. Is it two trees? Hands up, two trees. Hi, it says tree singular. Yeah, but it's on either side. Yeah? Now think about it. Just think. Alright, let me give you this one. Granny Smith's apples come from Granny Smith trees. Yeah? Yeah? Golden Delicious apples come from Golden Delicious trees. It is a singular. Huh? Say that again. The tree is a singular, it is a species. That's the word I'm looking for, species. Right? It is this species of the tree of Golden Delicious or the tree of Granny Smith's. It is a species. And guess what? When Christ has come and the bride of Christ, the church, has come together, and the bride and the groom come together, guess what happens next? They give birth. Excuse me? Is this not what happens when man and woman come together? They give birth. What do they give birth to? A child. A child of their gender. Two trees. Of the gender of the tree of life who is in the midst of the garden. When the church and Christ come together, there comes a new generation. There is a new destiny. There are new worlds to conquer. There is a complete changing of what exists now. There is a God has got the heavens and the universe already mapped out for us, and we cannot even look to the end of our own galaxy, and there are galaxies beyond. And guess what? God is going to send us throughout all of his universe, and we the church, we the seed of the child and the kingdom of God, are going to fulfill God's universe, and no evil shall possess it. And so there is the tree, the species that will give the healing to the nations. Hallelujah. Think on it. It's going to go on. Think on it. Let it be a blessing to you. Let it be a challenge to your faith. Sit down, thank you. And let it be realize that there's more to just this little blue ball that we live on.
Amen.
God is the creator of the universe. He's the maker of all things. Why does he say in the parable of the talents, and he says, to you I will make you ruler of 10 cities. To you I make you ruler of 5 cities. Things are going beyond what your natural mind can take. If you can think God, and if you can think as if you think you can think as big as God in your own mind, you have reduced God down to a simple idol. God is far bigger than you can ever imagine. The word says he's far bigger than you can ever imagine or think or believe. He's bigger than your thinking. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed and I've been encouraged. So I just wanted to give you something to think of. Praise the Lord.